Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 345 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is Jacqueline Foster. And Jacqueline is the owner and head of something called Dell Trust Legal Recruiting and Staffing. And they provide a complete staffing solution ranging from a virtual paralegal support to actual recruiting for full-time legal positions at your firm. And so we're going to talk to Jacqueline about how she arrived at this approach to staffing for law firms and why she focused on law firms as opposed to other businesses. And hopefully there's a solution there that you might find useful to meet the challenges that you have in your solo or small firm practice. So without any further delay, here is Jacqueline Foster. Jacqueline Foster, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you. And as I mentioned in our pre-recording conversation, I can't believe we haven't had you on before. You've been a visitor on all my friends' podcasts, so I'm glad I could sneak in and have you here on The Law Entrepreneur before the end of the year. Jacqueline, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So I'm Jacqueline. I'm the founder of Dell Trust Legal Recruiting and Staffing, founded in 2020. It was formerly known as Jacqueline Foster Paralegal Group, LLC. Prior to starting a company and in my entrepreneurial journey, I had been a paralegal, case manager, office manager, wearer of all hats in solo law firms. I worked in a lot of general practice firms, anywhere from litigation to transactional, family law, criminal law, all the above. And so when I moved out to Wisconsin and started my family, it was very difficult for me to find a position that aligned with what I loved to do as a paralegal. And the law firm was 30 miles away from me. There's very little daycare around, very low pay in my rural area. So my husband and I actually decided it'd be best if I just became a stay-at-home mom and stayed home and raised the kids. However, that quickly found to be not feasible for my passion and my drive. And I loved being, a stay-at-home mom, but I needed something more to keep me energized and focused and pushing forward. I'm very much that type of person. So I started contracting with a company now called Boson Solutions. They gave me my first freelance gig for a workman's comp law firm out of Chicago. And it absolutely blew my mind, having worked in the law firm setting, that I could contract with these big regional firms all over the country as a paralegal from my house in my pajamas, essentially, right, and still raise family. And it was absolute wonderful segue into a new career that I'm very, very grateful for, the opportunity with Boson Solutions. And as I continued to develop my skill set on the technology side, the remote communication side, mind you, this was pre-pandemic. There was no real resources on how to work remotely because nobody really did it, especially in the legal space. I've quickly found, and looking back into my career history as a paralegal working in firm, how lucrative leveraging different types of contractors, employees, setups, situations like that would have been to a lot of the firms that I worked with that would have extreme ebb and flows, that would, not you have a big case come in, not enough to justify a whole new employee, but would really inundate the staff that we had on hand. And so I started to just continue to develop my skill set in the remote space and decided to launch my own company in 2020, where it was by chance that I did it in the thick of the shutdowns. It was in March of 2020 where everybody was sent furloughed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right at the start, it was just by chance that that's finally when I buckled down and got her started. And so I was flooded, truthfully, with clientele pretty quickly to where I realized, you know, I either have to, as a business owner, I have to know, okay, this is my max. I can give 30 hours per week, save 10 for admin time. And this is where I have to stay and stay comfortable. Great. Filled myself up. But I envisioned something different for my company. Wasn't quite sure what yet. And decided to start bringing in other very specialized paralegals into my space to support me in supporting my clients. So I would bring in, you know, the estate planning paralegal guru that's done it for 25 years, the litigation appellate brief writer guru, and just started piecemealing help around me to where we could take on more and more and more clients. And eventually got to the point where I was a full-time business owner working on my business, not in my business anymore, and missing the paralegal work sometimes every day. But I think I made the right decision in merging my career and truthfully finding a passion for the actual staffing as a whole for a law firm. So even going from the remote contracted paralegal into the true full-time employees and finding that balance and what works the best to make the law firm the most profitable, the most measurable and sustainable in the right way. And I found that I was consulting my clients on that just naturally. And so we branded from the paralegal type company to a total legal staffing and recruiting solution based company.
Well, it sounds like along the way, you actually listened to your own advice.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yes, exactly.
So yes. It's fascinating. So when you talk to attorneys, as I have done now for almost 6 years here, you find that very often the number one, not number one, 1A challenge that they have is staffing.
Yes.
Right? And I think attorneys, and I'm guilty of this myself, so it's not like I'm throwing shade at somebody else, they get caught that paradoxical question, when do I bring somebody on board? When do I have enough work to justify bringing somebody on board, either on a part-time or full-time basis? And what is that point? And I know in my own case, I futzed around with that question forever and ever, and it just, you get more overwhelmed and more frustrated because difficult for some to answer that question. So what advice would you give attorneys in terms of when's the right time to reach out to somebody like Dell Trust?
So it really comes down to the processes that you have within the law firm. And that's where I like to call it the RP effect, is where we align the right people around the right priorities with the right processes that allows us to enable predictable and sustainable growth. And that really comes down to flipping that on its side and looking at the right processes first. As a business owner myself, I'm definitely guilty of having absolutely no procedures, no processes, nothing written down, nothing in a system, because I was doing it all. And so it was all in my head. I just, you know, I knew what I needed to do every day. I handled the most pressing thing that day, and I continued to work through until it was the next day. But when we can, even as solopreneurs and solo business owners with absolutely no support under us, really take the time to create systems and processes in your business, you're going to quickly find and identify where you're spending the most time and who the right person is going to be at that moment to fill in. And so, for instance, in a litigation firm, an attorney might have, you know, the pre-lit process, the demand letter out to the complaint, the service, the discovery, and so on and so forth, and then trial prep. And when they can stretch that process out and really identify what they're doing to take that case from inception to completion, they're going to identify holes in that can be filled right away. And because we are day and age that we are in, you're always ready to hire as a business owner because you have access to really highly professional freelance paralegals, freelance assistants, discovery, Bates numbering, anything you can think of, virtual assistants, personal assistants. There's always somebody that you can bring in for 5 hours a week, for instance, to start taking that off of your plate. Because what we always want to avoid is that reactive hiring where everything is completely gone downhill. Nothing is, you're drowning in work and you finally say, okay, I need to bring somebody into this chaos. Retention's not likely in that situation. So it is focusing on the right processes. And a lot of people just don't recognize how processes give you the answers to a lot of your business questions you have.
Well, I like that perspective where you are thinking about your business, because analyzing the processes and procedures forces you to look at your business in a critical way and identify those holes. You know, one of the things when I brought on my first virtual assistant and we went through just the onboarding phase where we talked about every system in the law firm and put it down on a whiteboard and showed the workflow from, and I was pleasantly surprised by how illuminating just the process of doing that was.
Yes.
Because as you said, as a solo, you have most of that in your head and it's grown up over the course of time, way of doing business that works for you. Hopefully it works for you. But actually getting it down and analyzing it and drawing it out is a really, really useful step, regardless of whether you then take the next step and fill some of those holes with legal services.
Absolutely. And it, you know, and when you start looking at those holes, when you stretch those processes out, you're going to start to identify common themes. And then the business owner can make a really educated decision looking at their budget and looking at what they're really being bottlenecked with. A lot of the times they'll find, you know, many of the solos think they need a senior paralegal that can just whiz around cases and manage them for them. But those paralegals, for instance, come at a dollar. It comes at a higher price tag. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at our budget and what our priority is in that given moment, you can look and see a common theme on a lot of secretarial, legal assistant, admin type function that you say, okay, it's almost all of it, truly, when you really stretch those processes out, you know, following up on medical records, getting things scheduled, those types of things you can look at and say, okay, maybe right now, just having that one person coming in to take that off of my plate will allow me to focus on the heavier legal work, the client work, being a lawyer work, and be able to attract more business into my office because I know I'm supported in that. And then as you know, you keep bringing people into those processes and you can expand upon them and continue to add more valuable people to take things off of your plate to where at some point you as the business owner, if it's what you actually desire to do, you're actually running the business, not working in it.
If you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I have been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com. When I think of either big law or medium law who have dedicated employees for some of these functions, I think we tend to think of the striation of function, like there's a legal secretary or administrative assistant, there is a paralegal, there is a marketing and operations type person. There's different kinds of layers of areas where legal services can be brought in to offload some of the work from the business owner. Are you seeing those same kind of traditional roles existing as we move forward into a more virtualized legal delivery of services, or are people wearing more than one hat? Does that question make sense?
Very much so. I'm seeing a mixture depending on the law firm setup. I have some firms that are 100% in office. They do not allow their employees to work remotely. And they do have specialized departments within their firm.
Okay.
Even their company, you know, stands in office. So they'll have, you know, like the intake manager, the nurse consultant, that's just their primary duty is to review medical records, for instance. They have the senior paralegal that's managing the cases and then paralegals under them. And that's like a mid-sized type firm. I have my solos that do kind of operate virtually. They have an office, but they let their people work from home, or maybe it's just them and one other person. They might be hiring, you know, like a receptionist call center to take their phone calls. And then they have that paralegal doing that work. And, you know, so I am finding law firms realizing, and I'm thankful for this, that having the wearer of all hats person is truly the biggest profit killer, because you're having a very high level senior paralegal performing, you know, fresh out of college admin type of work, and you're paying them for that, but you're not being able to bill the client on the flip side. And so they're finding that if they can do a little bit of a balance, for instance, you know, they need somebody in the office 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. Maybe that person in your firm setup right now should be the receptionist, should be the intake person, the person that's greeting the clients, that's answering the phones, that's handling the mail, filing. And then you can outsource for 10 hours a week that senior level paralegal to write motions, write briefs, get complaints drafted, all of the above that they can truly do from home.
Yeah, under the direction of obviously an attorney. Absolutely. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just again, it's looking at what's the process in your system and how best to fulfill the need. So when it comes to using a service like DelTrust, typically are people coming in and saying, I need somebody 10 hours a week, I need somebody half-time, 20 hours a week, or I need somebody full-time? How are they kind of structuring the relationship with the on-call or contractual paralegals?
You know, it's actually kind of funny because I get a lot of solo attorneys that are interested in the remote paralegal side of our company. And I will force them by asking them, how many hours a week do you need support? Well, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm like, well, that's your first kind of indicator that you really need to sit down and see who is the best hire. Because, you know, we offer both the legal admin and the paralegal at different rates. You know, so if you're just assuming, I just need help. I just need help, Jacqueline, just give me someone. Yeah. I like to make them slow down. And I'll even say, you know, prior to the meeting, why don't you just spend a week? If you have no systems, no processes right now, keep your legal pad next to you. Start jotting down the stuff you're working on a daily basis. Start jotting down how much time you spent on that simple task. And then we can really look at the data and determine, okay, you know, you're leaning more towards the admin support, maybe 10 hours a week or 5 hours a week. Or maybe you are leaning towards needing a 30-hour, 40-hour a week paralegal because you're so busy. So it really depends on that firm and what they already know about their own business, which I say that because it's funny because I'm a business owner. It's taken me a long time, 3 years, to really craft how I want to see my processes run and then where do I fit? Where do I ultimately fit in the business? Which is truthfully, at this point, I'm an account manager, but I would like to move forward into being the marketer and getting on more conversations like I am with you, Neil. I told you I don't have, you know, don't find the time to reach out and network with podcast owners and marketing type specialists. So finding out where this priority for the hire is, where do you see yourself moving up the company? But looking like at the rate now, how many hours are you spending on things that you could easily outsource to a paralegal, easily outsource to an admin? And so that's the first thing that they really need to know. Now, when somebody contacts us about recruiting, they seem to already kind of have it in their head, I need a full-time paralegal. Every time I really like to, what I coined from working with Wells Fargo for way too long, peel the onion and really get to the root of why they feel a paralegal is the best fit. What types of tasks are you having them do? Where are you getting inundated and bottlenecked in your processes? So that we're also making sure we are finding the right person at their budget and what they're really looking for.
I wanted to emphasize that a little bit here before we go on to a different area, that DelTrust also provides recruiting services for those people who want to hire a full-time person. So it's not just part-time paralegal staffing. That's something that you do offer, but you do help firms find full-time employees, correct?
Absolutely. That's really what we try to specialize in, is the whole service. I started out just doing the contract space. Right. And then, you know, we added the recruiting because I was finding my clients were growing by leveraging the remote paralegals we offer. And then they were, you know, they were getting to the point of needing a full-time paralegal. Right. A lot of buyout mine that I gave them in the beginning, a lot of them, you know, need a full recruiter that to go find somebody to come into the office. So it's just that natural effect where it was a light bulb moment of, where I coined the RP effect is going, moving into the priorities part of it. What is the intended waterfall effect of bringing this person into your business? I hope that nobody says it's just to get me by day to day. Where do you want to see this person actually leveraging the growth of your business? Where do you want to see this person allowing you to free up your time to bring in more business or to get out in the public more and to market yourself more? What is the point also of bringing it in beyond just to SOS, save my soul, give me some free time, you know? So that's that, when we got stuck in that priorities part of it and seeing people grow, it's that end, not even end point, it continues. I mean, staffing, like you said in the beginning, it's the number one challenge of any, not only law firm, any business in this world, because people are the root to all that we'll do and accomplish in our businesses.
Right. All right. Well, I want to step back now for a moment and, you know, put on my solo law firm owner's hat on. And, you know, I'm going to pretend that I'm one of those guys that I'm feeling overwhelmed. You know, yep. I've been doing it all myself and I've gone through this analysis. I think I know where I need help. I think I want some help intake. I think I want some help in, you know, doing the first drafts of legal documents using the platform that we use to generate them. So I've got an idea of where I want to go. How does this work in terms of, do I have to pay taxes, you know, for those folks' help? Do I have to sign them up to a contract? Do, you know, just mechanically, operationally, how does it work working with a remote paralegal?
So with my specific business, with DelTrust specifically, the client, the attorney, is on a business-to-business service agreement with us. So we are providing that law firm a remote paralegal on a 1099 basis. So there's no state, federal taxes. There's nothing of that nature. It's a business expense under a 1099. Of course, with that comes regulations in what constitutes a 1099, you know, and the country has gotten a little bit, and state by state, you know, California always leads the way. So right. We've been watching how that's been going, and is, you know, we can't necessarily tell them when to work. We can't give them equipment. We can't give them, you know, pay taxes, give them paid time off, benefits, things of that nature. So we focus specifically with DelTrust that we also only contract with paralegals and legal admins that are truly kind of running their own freelance business. But what we specialize in and why our clients like to work through us as a middle person is because we're also working on the locating and the sourcing of that right fit. for the client at no charge. So it just, they're working through us to work with the client. We handle all the background stuff. So there is no taxes involved, none of that. They issue a 1099 at the end of the year and that's it.
Great. Well, it sounds like it can be the solution for a lot of solos who need to, you know, get some of that work off their plate, which will allow them to grow. I think that's one of the paradoxes that we have as solo entrepreneurs is that, you know, in order to grow, we have to stop doing some of the work.
Right.
So somebody else has to do it. And this sounds like a viable solution. So for our listeners, what's the best way for them to reach out and chat with you if they want to follow up?
Yeah, well, you can visit the link. Obviously, you'll put in the show notes, but it's www.del-trust.com/TLE. You can set a free discovery call. I love to work with my clients prior to, you know, them just hiring us and saying, yep, go ahead. I really like to get to know their law firm, the makeup, what they're really looking for. And like I said in the beginning, it's not as easy sometimes to just say, I need 5 hours of help. We like to really uncover and strategize with each client and with each law firm on long-term effects and what we're really hoping to accomplish by working together.
And do I recall you have a guide or something about using a service such as yourself?
I do. I have a staffing hiring for success guide that pops up on the website. Yeah. It tells you, it kind of helps you go through the decision-making process yourself. Normally, I find that the clients will just bring it to me anyway and say, let's dissect this together.
Okay.
And it also
so you use it kind of as a roadmap.
Yep. And it also comes with an employee cost calculator that helps to determine the budget standpoint. Because we all know, you know, when you're hiring a full-time employee, a $50,000 employee is more like 75 at the end of the year. So really to look at cost and total cost and what we can be doing. Because I always like to make sure that it's the most financially feasible to be hiring contract as well, because, you know, there's a higher hourly rate. But so we have that whole guide to determine budget wise, time wise, what you're really needing at the moment.
Yeah, and is there a cost for that guide?
No, not at all. Totally okay. Free.
Sounds to me like it's worth it just to get the guide and kind of go through that process, go through the analysis and determine if it's something that you truly need.
Absolutely.
And how to make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, terrific.
And you can find that guide right on the link with the TLE/TLE.
All right. Well, we'll have that in our show notes. And I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. And I look forward to heading out to Wisconsin someday and checking out what needs to be seen there.
Yeah. Had to hit up a Badger game.
There you go. All right. Thanks so much for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur, Jacqueline.
Thank you, Neil. It was an honor to be here.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.